following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from New Hartford, Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program are Kit Cameron of KCHA Radio in Charles City and Rick Patry of the Eldora Herald-Ledger. The first question will come from KCHA's Kit. Go ahead, Kit.
Good morning, Senator Grassley.
Good morning.
I have a question here from our listener, Jason, and he would like to know, what do you think of the world trend toward banning GE or genetically engineered foods, and what is your position on GMO and GE food labeling?
Yeah, my position is that GMO has met all of the requirements of the federal government as safe, and those should be scientific judgments, not political judgments, and they are based on science, and that any information that goes on labels ought to be based upon science as well and be very instructive to the consumer.
So you would not be in favor of the world ban on genetically engineered foods?
Well, if you had a world ban on genetically engineered foods, you would probably have some starvation. Dr. Borlaug, the Nobel Peace Prize winner and now the inventor, originator of the World Food Prize, he's been very much an advocate of GMO food to increase productivity, to reduce starvation. Long time before GMO, he researched the old-fashioned way of engineering new seed that was would not have rust or other diseases, so you could increase food production. GMO has speeded that up.
Rick?
Senator, I guess assuming that your party wins the Senate this time, how is it going to change things for you, or is it going to change them that much for you?
Well, yeah, when you're in a minority party and you have seniority like I do, you're a ranking member of a committee instead of being chairman of the committee. So I would move to be chairman of a committee. I could be chairman of finance or judiciary or budget, and I'll probably choose a judiciary committee. But you get an opportunity to set the agenda for the committee. As a ranking member, you don't get that opportunity. That would be the main difference. In other words, I would decide what bills were going to come up, where now I have to react to bills that Chairman Leahy brings up in that committee.
Kit?
Thank you.
With all the recent concerns about Ebola, some people have expressed the idea of a ban or maybe at least a temporary ban on all commercial flights into the U.S. from West Africa. What's your opinion on that idea, and would you consider calling for such a ban?
Yeah, I've already been one of seven or eight senators on the Judiciary Committee that's written for the president calling for a ban on visas coming from those countries. I don't know that you have to stop flights from those countries. You just don't want people coming from those countries to the United States, and they can't come here if they don't have a visa. So I would want to restrict travel of people from the West African countries coming to the United States, the same way that 30 African countries have restricted travel from those very same countries to other countries in Africa. If they think that restriction on travel is a good way to stop Ebola from spreading, why wouldn't the United States think it's a good idea?
Rick?
Senator, here just yesterday I noticed in the Waterloo newspaper, I suppose it's been otherwise too, there was already some comments about the levels of farm price supports under the new legislation in light of the way prices have gone for commodities. A little comment on that. Any concerns about it?
Yeah. When corn is $3.10 at New Hartford, where I live and where we sell some of our product, and you have a support price, let's say for corn of, I think it's $3.79, you can see that you're going to get some benefit from the farm program. Now, you know, the cost of production might be $4.50, so obviously the guarantee from the government isn't as much as the cost of production, but I don't know that there's ever been a farm program that has guaranteed farmers a profit. The idea is to help them over a hump that's beyond their control. And when you have outstanding weather like we had this year, and everything like that, and you get the massive production we're having this year, obviously farmers don't have control over that. The price is down. They'll benefit. The extent to which farmers, for the most part, being good managers, are probably going to take advantage of the crop insurance program and get more benefit out of the crop insurance program than they are the target prices within the farm bill. There is some advice I could give to farmers because they haven't signed up for the new farm bill yet. They have next March to do that. There's two different price supports for grain, and you want to study which way you want to go, because whatever you sign up for, an individual farmer signs up for in the farm bill is going to be good for the next five crop years. So you're, whatever you sign up for, you're stuck for. So make a wise decision to begin with.
Thank you.
There was a recent Government Accountability Office report that came out through the Washington Post, finding that over 53,000 civilian employees were kept home for one to 3 months to up to 3 years over a three-year period. About 4,000 were idled in this period. The tab was over $700 million in salary. What are your thoughts on this kind of use of federal dollars?
Well, I thank the Government Accountability Office for doing the study at my request, and I'm glad to get this information out. And I think it's outrageous that we would have 200 and some people drawing a salary, benefits, increasing their retirement for up to 3 years in some instances, and too many instances for up to a year. And it's probably more than the 53 or 57,000 that you quoted, because that's the Government Accountability Office was only able to get information from about 60% of the bureaucracies. So it tells me one thing, that it's that there's abuse of it. It tells me another thing, that managers that are putting people on administrative leave and not quickly determining what their status is bad management, and it's probably responsible for the waste of taxpayers' money. And there's no law that allows this. It's just some government protocol that allows it. We need Congress to pass legislation that spells out under what conditions and for how long people can be on administrative leave. I'm not saying that there's not a legitimate reason for some administrative leave, even paid administrative leave. But the abuse that this Government Accountability Office report shows is just unconscionable.
Maybe doing away with the, there were some that actually had received punishments or demotions, and they were still on paid leave while they were challenging those judgments. That seems rather excessive.
Listen, it also speaks to the point that it's very difficult to fire a federal employee. And if it were easier, we would probably have more productivity out of the federal workforce.
Rick?
Senator, I guess, again, assuming that the Republicans win the Senate and hold both houses, are there any areas where you could see right off the bat that there might be some movement and agreement between the Congress and the executive branch?
Well, let me answer your question from a process standpoint, because the way Reid runs the United States Senate, it's not productive. And the reason it isn't is because he sets up an amendment process and a process to stop debate, so nothing really ever gets done. You never get to negotiating with between Republicans and Democrats. So you can go to a March, I think it's March 8th speech that the Republican caucus leader gave on the floor of the United States Senate that says something along the lines that we're going to have open and free debate. Any senators can offer amendments, where Reid won't allow that to happen now. He won't, in some instances, he won't even allow bipartisan amendments to be offered. And he shuts off debate before even the first word of debate. And he doesn't ever bring up a budget. We've only had one budget in the last 5 years. The budget law requires a budget every year. So we're going to have budgets. We're going to have debate. We aren't going to stop debate before it even starts. We're going to offer, both Republicans and Democrats are going to be able to offer amendments. And so if you read that May 8th speech, I think you're going to find a process that's in place to actually pass laws. So we don't have a situation like we do right now where 380 bills have passed the House of Representatives, but Reid won't bring them up. They'll get an opportunity to come up in the United States Senate.
Thank you, Kit and Rick, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.